we had said last time that there are many explanations and deep explanations to many things that are going on in the night of Pesach, but we're going to try to remain focused on the things that are brought in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, and in the Halacha. And we ask that people refrain from adding all the other points unless they have a question, because there's a lot to add, but we have a lot of material to cover, and we won't be able to do that if everyone adds what they have to add. So I'm interested in hearing what everyone has to say. I'll be here afterwards. So after we finish, whoever wants, I'm interested. We said that on the night of the Seder, so we have a few mitzvos. We said we have mitzvah d'oraisa, biblically ordained, to eat matzah, and saying over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, saying over the story. And we have mitzvos d'rabbanan, rabbinically ordained. We have the mitzvah of drinking 4 cups of wine, eating the mara, the bitter herb, and saying over the hallel. Now, 30 days before Pesach, we start asking and inquiring all the halachos we need to know about Pesach. There are a lot of halachos, and we're not going to focus on the halachos here. Rav Lishman said there are separate classes on that. The Shabbos before Pesach, we have a drasha. Drasha Shabbos Agadol. There's a custom to say over the Agada from Avadim Ayinu. We say most of Magid, and the rabbi gives a speech, hopefully with the halachos that we need to know. The night before Pesach, this year it's going to be Thursday night, we do Bdikas Chametz. We look over our houses. Some have the custom to put out 7 pieces of bread wrapped up so that we don't leave crumbs. We just cleaned up the whole house and checked it up. So we check for Chametz, we mentioned, possibly with a flashlight, whatever works best. And then we say Kol Chamiro, we annul all the chametz that's in our possession. We should say that in a language that we understand, because we're saying that we don't want to own the chametz, so we have to understand what, if we're giving up possession over all our chametz, we have to understand what we're doing.
You can only say it after Shabbos morning, or not, because you
see, I think we do. We say it Thursday night, and we say it again Friday morning, and then Shabbos morning, we get rid of whatever we have. We do the actual burning this year on Friday morning. There's a custom that the firstborns fast, because on this night, the night of the Seder, the firstborns of the Mitzrayim were killed, and that's why it's called Pesach, because Hashem says Pesachti, I jumped over. Pesach means to jump over the houses of the Jews, and I did not kill the firstborns of the Jews, but I did kill the firstborns of the Mitzrayim. So that's why on the night of the day before Pesach, we have the custom that firstborns fast. There are different customs whether girls do or don't. And if a person has a child, then if his child is the firstborn and that child can't fast, then he has to fast in his place. Now, today the custom is that we go to Siyum, we do Sudas Mitzvah, and that's how we redeem the fast. This year, where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, there are 2 customs. Some have the custom that they don't fast at all, and some say you should fast on Thursday. This whole thing is a custom. It's brought in Masechet Sofrim, one of the Masechtos that are not part of the Shas. So, it is halacha. I'm saying it has less stringency than a rabbinically ordained halacha. This is a custom that became halacha. So we treat it as a custom. And the question is, the custom was to fast on the day before Pesach. In our situation this year, where we cannot do that, do we say, so there is no custom, and you don't need to fast at all? Or do we say, no, the custom is, so we revert back to Thursday, like on any other fast. But it's less stringent than any other fast, because it has less of a basis. It's not written in Tanakh, it's not written in Shas, it's written in Masech Sofrim, it is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Nothing we don't do, we do it. But we treat it with less stringency, like no one can say on Tzom Gedalia, you could go to see him and not fast. Even though that's a tzom that's Rabbanon. But on this we say, if you go to a siyum, then you break your fast on Sudas Mitzvah, and that's enough. Most shuls have siyumim, at least in one of their minyanim. From Chatzos and on, everyone doesn't do work. So whatever we need to do to get ready for the Seder, we do, but we don't do work. Before Chatos depends on the custom of the place. And the day before Pesach, we don't eat matzah. And this year, that's a little complicated because we have to have Shar Sudas, so I'm sure you already heard in the Shiurim that ideally we wake up early and we do two Sudas while we could still eat hummus, and we make them with regular bread, or the different options, different opinions, what's the best option to do this year. But on the day before Pesach, so we don't eat matzah. We want to come into matzah and show that this matzah that we're eating tonight is a mitzvah to eat this matzah. So all day we refrain from eating matzah. Some have the custom to refrain from eating matzah from Rosh Chodesh, and some have the custom from Purim, from 30 days before Pesach. On a regular Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah to prepare ourselves for Yom Tov by showering, shaving, and getting dressed nicely for Yom Tov. This year, obviously, we won't be showering and shaving on Shabbos, so our preparations for Shabbos are also going to have to be in honor of Yom Tov. We have to be especially careful this year because Shabbos is not allowed to be used to prepare for Yom Tov, so we don't do anything to prepare for Yom Tov on Shabbos. Now, if it's possible, I think everyone here is going to be guests, but if you're at your own home, then if it's possible, you should set up the table and everything ready for the Seder on Friday, and then eat the other meals, the Shabbos meals, somewhere else. You're anyways going to eat in a secluded area to make sure that chametz doesn't go anywhere. So this way, come Matzei Shabbos, you won't have time to prepare the table. But we mentioned last time, we have a great interest in making sure that the kids are awake. And the Gemara says we used to grab matzahs so the kids will see. There are two opinions what that means. The Shulchan Aruch says, according to the opinion, that we quickly come to perform the meal. We rush to start the Seder. Now, if we're going to come home and only then start preparing the table and preparing the pillows to lean on, and getting the mar ready and the charosis ready and everything ready, then it's going to take us about an hour, which is what happens in most homes, unfortunately. It says clearly in Halacha we're supposed to prepare everything before Yom Tov. So this year we cannot prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov. So what do we do? So if it's possible, we prepare on Friday, and if not, then we'll have to prepare on Matzei Shabbos, and things will run pretty late, and that's not good. And it's hard enough to stay awake as it is. We prepare the table so that when we come home from shul, we could start the meal right away, which we just mentioned how we would do it this year, if it's possible. And we're going to have two concepts that are contradictory that we play with back and forth at the Seder. One is we were avadim, we were slaves, so we signify certain things to show how we were slaves. We eat broken bread. We don't eat a whole bread tonight, but we do eat a whole matzah, but we also, the main matzah we're interested in, the matzah of the Seder, is lechem oni, poor man's bread. We show like we're poor men, we eat the matzah in broken pieces, and we'll discuss that at greater length a little bit later. Now, on the other hand, we do a lot of things to show that we're free men, we got free tonight. We mentioned that the kittel could be one of either extremes, the white robe of linen that we wear. But a lot of things that we do at the night of the Seder are to resemble the fact that we're free men tonight. Tonight we became free men. And that's why it's customary to place a lot of beautiful vessels on the table. If you have gold goblets and any other gold utensils, you place them on the table, if it's at all possible, to beautify the table to show that we're free men. Ordinarily during the year we don't do that, ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we're careful not to put out all of our wealth. We're careful not to show as though we had it made. A woman, when she puts on her jewelry, is supposed to put a little bit less than she could put on. She's supposed to put on jewelry, but not the utmost, a drop less. When we have a chasen and kala also, we do things to signify that we're not fully there yet. But the night of the Leila Seder, we don't have this restriction. The night of the Seder, we're supposed to show like we're free men. So even if a person has, he lent people money, and they gave him his collateral, gold, silver vessels, he's allowed to place them on table. He's not allowed to use them. He doesn't have permission to use them, but he's allowed to place them around the table so that it looks like he's a wealthy person, because we're showing tonight we became free men and we're well off. Even though we said we rushed to do the Seder, the Torah says that we have to bring the Korban Pesach, the main part of the Korban that the Torah told us to bring on the night of Pesach, can only be brought at night. And the Torah tells us that the time for eating matzah is the same as the time for the Pesach. So that means the matzah could also only be eaten at night. And the first cup that we're going to drink, we said we drink four cups in the night of the Leil Seder, and we said each one was instituted adjacent to a mitzvah, to honor a mitzvah. Even though there's an idea in the four, because there were four Lashonos Geula, there were four terms in which Hashem said He would redeem us, and each one is its own private mitzvah, and that's why we're going to make a private Bori Priya Gofen. We could have said Bori Priya Gofen on the first cup and said, okay, I have in mind all four cups. We don't do that, because each one is its own mitzvah, each one of the four cups. But the first cup is the cup we're going to use for Kiddush. That's the first mitzvah of the night, and some say that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, because the Torah says we have to make the Pesach night holy, like Shabbos is made holy, like every Yom is made holy. How do we make it holy? When it begins, we raise a glass and say, this is a holy day. That's what we're doing at Kiddush. We thank Hashem for giving us this holy day. So being that the first cup of wine, the cup of Kiddush, the first glass of the four cups is going to be the first thing we do at the Seder, and the four cups have to be just like the matzah at night, so therefore we say, even though we rush to do everything early, we don't do anything before nightfall, before Tzeis HaKochavim. And that's why we have to make sure to start at the earliest minute we could start, but that's going to be pretty late. That's going to be Tzeis HaKochavim, especially this year when it's Matzoi Shabbos. Any questions to this point? One of the things we do to signify that we're free men is we eat the seba, we lean. And we need to lean when we drink the cups of wine and when we eat the matzah, and the rest of the halachos of leaning we'll get to when we get to the meal. Now, if a person did not lean when he drank the cups of wine, so there are opinions that say he has to make another blessing and drink again. He wasn't yotzeh. What?
Oops, I forgot.
There are opinions that say the Raviyah, Arishon, says that today we don't lean, ever. When do you see a person leaning? So our sitting is just like their leaning. So ordinarily we don't rely on that opinion. But there are going to be instances where a person forgot to lean and he's not allowed to drink another cup. So then we do rely on that opinion, and the person should try to make sure not to run into it. Women, children, everyone is supposed to drink four cups of wine. Obviously not a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old, but once a child understands what's going on, you can tell them the story of Mitzrayim, then he should also have four cups of wine. We give out nuts and roasted kernels and sweets to the kids in the beginning of this night. They're going to look at us and say, what did I do wrong? What did I do right? Why am I getting this? And that's the point we want them to ask. The Torah said we're supposed to tell our children the story of Tzias Mitzrayim, but the Torah said that with an introduction. The Torah says, V'hoya ki yisholcha bincha, when your son is going to ask you, what are you doing here? What is all this? So then you'll explain to him, Hashem took Tzias Mitzrayim, that's why I'm doing all this. So at the night of the Seder, we do a lot of things to look strange. And we're going to discuss it today. We don't look as strange because the kid is already going to Cheder and he's taught, well, your father's going to cover the plate here and he's going to uncover it there, and you're going to dip here and you're going to dip there. So he looks at the dipping and he says, I know why you're doing that. He's not asking any questions. So we have to make it look strange to the children. One of the reasons we cover the matzah, we're going to see, is because in Chazal's time they used to remove the table. So I have a younger brother, and he was a little kid, so once the Rebbe didn't explain him much about Pesach, he never got around to it, and we decided that he has to learn about Pesach. So that Seder, instead of covering the matzahs, we just started clearing off the dishes. So thanks, Ma, the food was delicious. Boy, it was great. He started looking at us, what food? I didn't eat. I'm still hungry. Now you're asking. Very good. That's what Chazal wanted. Chazal wanted the kids to ask questions. So that's why we start giving them out nash at the beginning of the meal. We're at dessert. I didn't have the meal yet. Oh, good question. What else is strange here? You can ask more questions. Once you ask questions, then we say, I'll tell you. You know why you're getting sweets tonight? Because tonight's a special night. Tonight's a sweet night for us. Tonight, we spent over 200 years where a wicked man was hurting us and he made us slaves. And tonight, Hashem took Sarah and Chai. And then we tell him the whole story. And each child according to his level. We discussed why we wear a kittel on this night. Also, the kid's going to look at that and he'll ask. Now, we have a specific order for the Seder. We have a specific Seder. The night is called Leila Seder. There's a specific order. And the order was devised with understanding and cause. But we're going to see that even when we don't have all the causes, Chazal didn't want us to stray from this Seder. Chazal always told us, stick to this Seder. And we'll explain that at greater length as we go along. So the first cup we said is Kiddush. When we say Kiddush, we should have Kavana for two things. We're doing the mitzvah of Kiddush. We said, the Torah says we have to make this day holy. How do we do that? We proclaim at the beginning of the day, this is a holy day. And this is the first cup of the four cups. Now, on every Yom Tov, we're supposed to say Shehecheyanu. When do we say Shehecheyanu? So really, you say Shehecheyanu all day. This Yom Kippur, about 15 minutes before it was time for Kol Nidre, our baby became sick, and we had to run to the doctor. So everyone was going to shul, and I was going, I don't think I even got my kittel on, and I was running to find a doctor who could look at the baby. And everyone starts saying Kol Nidre, and I'm looking for a doctor. I don't know if you probably saw me, I came into here. I was running around the Beis Medrash with the baby at the beginning of Yom Kippur this year. And I didn't find a doctor here, so I had to go to another shul. And finally everything worked out okay. I got the shul, they're in the middle of Meir. And I had nothing I could do. They finished Meir, fine. We have Yom Kippur night, Yom Kippur day, we reach Mincha. Suddenly I think back and I tell myself, hey, I missed out the beginning of Yom Kippur davening. I never said Shehecheyanu. So what am I supposed to do? And the halacha is that you're allowed to say Shehecheyanu throughout the holy day, throughout Yom Kippur, throughout Pesach. Every time we have a Yom Tov, so we say Shehecheyanu at the beginning of the Yom Tov. We thank Hashem at the beginning of this time. Thank you, Hashem, for bringing me to this time. But I was standing there waiting for them to begin Chazaras HaShatz of Mincha, and I made a Shehecheyanu. Even though everyone made their Shehecheyanu at the beginning of Yom Tov, I was running around looking for a doctor at the beginning of Yom Tov. And I only realized it when Mincha time came, that Yom Tov, that Yom Kippur. So the same thing is true for Pesach. Really, we can make the Shehecheyanu any time throughout Pesach. The whole time we're thanking Hashem for bringing us to this joyous occasion. But we try to say the Shehecheyanu with every Yom Tov, the beginning of the Yom Tov with the Kiddush. So let's open our Haggadahs. Let's quickly look over what Kiddush looks like. This year's Kiddush is special. It has a Rashi Tevos, has an acronym, Yat Nehaz, because there was a discussion in the Gemara what the order is, how we make the blessings, and we have to do Abdullah together with the Kiddush this year. So the order that we go La'alacha is first we make the blessing on the wine, and afterwards we make the Kiddush. In the Kiddush we thank Hashem for choosing us from all the nations and raising us from all the different tongues and making us holy with His mitzvot. Hashem engaged us with His mitzvot. Kiddushanu is a lesson of holiness, also like an engagement, like Kiddushin. And Hashem gave us with love the great holidays for rejoicing and this day of Matzos. Notice Pesach we call it Chag HaMatzos, the Yom Tov when we eat Matzos. This is the time when we became free. This is a calling of holiness. It's to remember that we went out of Mitzrayim, that Hashem chose us and made us holy, holy from all the nations, and the holy days of Hashem, Hashem gave us with happiness and rejoicing. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gave holiness to Am Yisrael and gave holiness to the special occasions, and gave us, Am Yisrael, the holiness to make these occasions holy. So that's the Kiddush. And here we said this is going to be our first cup of wine. But before we drink, we have to go over to a lit candle. We have to enjoy from a candle and say the bracha borei morei yaish, because all of Shabbos we cannot pass fire from one fire to another. We can't cook on Shabbos. Now on Yom Tov we will be able to cook. So being that we're allowed to use fires now, so we make a bracha borei morei yaish on Motzai Shabbos, which is going to be Leil Seder this year. And then we make the bracha hamavdil, and we love Shabbos so much that we add at the end ben kedushas Shabbos leKedushas Yom Tov Hevdalta, even though Yom Tov is only also holy. We thank Hashem that He separated between the holiness of Shabbos and Yom Tov and made Shabbos holier than any other day, than all the other days of the week. And then we make a blessing at the end of Abdullah, Hamavdil ben Kodesh leKodesh. At the very end, now we finished with Shabbos, we made our Abdullah. We accepted the holy day of Pesach upon us. We're happy we're in Pesach, we make the Shehecheyanu, we lean back and drink. Notice that we lean back when we drink, we don't lean back when we make the blessings. When we make blessings, we have to sit in a respectable manner. The leaning is only afterwards when we drink. So we went through Kaddish. Now, we don't make a blessing after the wine, like we said. And when we make the blessing on the wine, we should have in mind that we could drink water afterwards if we want to. If you want to drink water during the Seder, your throat's dry, if you've been singing Hallel, and you're going to say all this, and you're going to want to drink something throughout the Seder, so ideally you should not drink wine. We don't want a person to get drunk. But if you want to drink water, so then Bor Priyagafen is good for water as well, but you have to have it in mind. When you make the Bor Priyagafen of the Kiddush, then you should have in mind that you're going to drink, if you want to drink water, something else that's not intoxicating later. Now, just tell me what you prefer. We could quickly spend 5 minutes going through understanding what a Revius is, the different measurements, because we have to have cups that are the right measurements, and how we got to these measurements, or we could skip that. So let's have a quick vote. Should we skip it?
I am going to come back to it if we have time next.
Okay, two votes to come back to it. What does everyone else say?
Yeah, skip it, because I've heard it so many
skip
times.
Skip it. Okay. So then the order of the Keara. We have a halacha that in mavir na mitzvos. If I have two mitzvos here, I should do this one first and then that one. We don't pass over a mitzvah. So when we arrange our plate, we want to arrange it in a way that we won't pass over things to get to the mitzvos. So that's why the halacha is that we arrange things first. The order we're going to arrange things is going to be the karpas. That's the vegetable we're going to dip first. I know in all the Agadas it says differently. That's according to the Ariza. We're speaking now according to the halacha. Some people want to go according to Kabbalah, they could do that. But the what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramak, and I'm saying things like this. First the karpas, that's going to be a green vegetable we're going to dip. And then the vinegar or the salt water. Some have the custom to put it on the plate, some leave it off the plate because it's really not one of the things that are on the plate. It's just a dip. Then we have the matzos, because the next things we're going to hit is going to be the matzos. And then the marah, because after we make hamotzi, we're going to use the marah. And then the charosis, which we're going to dip the marah in. And then at the very end, we have two cooked things. Now, the custom is to have meat and shank bone, like the zrak, because Hashem said he rested us with an outstretched hand, and an egg, which is either in Aramaic, it was called beya, and it came to signify Bay Rahman Allah, and Hashem, please have pity on us, redeem us tonight like you redeemed us in the past. Or it's to symbolize the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, like mourners eat eggs. But really you could use anything. The Yerushalmi says they used to use rice and beets. They cook rice and cook beets and put that, any two cooked things, to symbolize the two korbanos that we had, the korban Pesach and the korban Chagiga. Now, why do we have two korbanos? Because we're supposed to eat the korban Pesach when we're satiated, when we're full. Not so. Chazal, we have a problem. The korban Pesach has to be 1 year old. Now, sheep ordinarily give birth all at the same time, and the time they give birth is about 2 months before Pesach. So, Herschel Schechter pointed this out. So, it turns out that all the sheep that were shechted for the korban Pesach were young. We're about 2 months old, 2-3 months old. A baby sheep is very easy to break a bone while you're eating it. So Chazal instituted that we eat the Chagiga first. We have another karman in honor of the Yom Tov. This year we won't do it because the day before Yom Tov is Shabbos. We can't bring an extra offering. Just the Pesach is brought on Shabbos. We don't bring an extra offering. But on every other year they would bring first the karman Chagiga, and they'd get full with the meat from the Chagiga, and then at the very end they eat the karman Pesach, because the Pesach is supposed to be eaten when we're full. Now, why do we have three matzos? I know everyone says Kohen Levi Yisrael and all kinds of other things. Halachically, why do we have three matzos? The reason is because we need two matzos for Lechem Mishneh. Like every Yom Tov and Shabbos, we have to have two matzos because the man fell twice. We weren't supposed to go out and collect the man in the Midbar. And as a remembrance for that, every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we put two loaves of bread, and on Pesach we're going to have two matzos. The third matzo is going to be the one that's going to interest us a lot, because these two have a separate din. Even though tonight we're doing this whole Seder, it's still Yom Tov, so we have to have a meal. So these are like part of the meal. So that's like a standard Yom Tov, these two matzos. The third matzo is the matzo that's going to interest us most during the Seder. That's the matzo that's going to be representative of matzo tonight. The other two are representative of bread. I need to have a meal. I need bread, so I need two to remind me of what happened with the month. So I have two. But the other matzo is the one which I'm going to break. The reason I break it is because the Torah, when it refers to matzah, calls it lechem oni. Lechem oni could mean one of two things. Either lechem of a poor man, bread of a poor man, which is what we mentioned before, or lechem she'oni, that I answer upon, that I speak over this bread. And the matzah, we go with both opinions, and that's why we're going to break the matzah. We're going to break the matzah because like a poor man breaks the matzah, but we're not up to that. We'll get to that. We said we have two cooked items, and we said we're leaving the measurement. So now we wash our hands. Everyone says you don't make a blessing on the washing. Really, these were two opinions in the Rishonim. Today we don't make a blessing, that's our custom. We wash our hands for eating the vegetable, and we dip the vegetable. Now ideally the vegetable should be a green vegetable. Some in Russia, where they had no green vegetables, so they used potatoes. But ideally we want to use a green vegetable, we want to make a bori pri adama. There are two opinions as to whether we're supposed to eat a lot of this vegetable, whether we may eat a lot of this vegetable or not. And therefore we today have the custom, so as not to run into problems and not to have to make a blessing after it, we try to eat less than a kezayis. If one ate more than a kezayis, if one was hungry, one ate, so now he's stuck. He might have to make a blessing after the karpas, after the vegetable. So then one could rely on what we said before. He could take sips of water during the Seder, and then he doesn't have to make a bar nefashis yet. Now, this is quoted in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to do this, that if you want to, even if you didn't need a kezayis, forget the kezayis. You make a bar pri adama, and 3 hours are going to pass before you hit the maror. So when we make a bar pri adama, we have to have in mind for the maror that we'll eat later on. Now, ordinarily, vegetables are part of the meal, but the maror is special. The maror isn't part of the meal. I'm eating the maror because Hashem told me to eat maror. So if I have a special mitzvah to eat something, then maybe it's not inclusive in my hamotzi. Ordinarily, I say I make a hamotzi, so whatever I eat in the meal is included in that hamotzi. So why is the maror exceptional? Because the maror I'm not eating as part of the meal. I can't say, oh, I have in mind the maror. Well, what do you mean you have in mind the maror? You wouldn't eat this maror. Hashem told you to eat this maror. It's a special mitzvah, just like you're going to make a blessing. Alachilas maror. You have a special mitzvah to eat that maror. So then we say, how are you going to get away without making a bori pri adama on that maror? You can't say it's secondary to the matzah. It's its own mitzvah. So that's why we say when we make this bori pri adama, we have that maror in mind. But how does that work? 3 hours are going to pass in between. We're going to say this whole Haggadah, and everyone's going to say everything they have to say, and by the time we get to the maror, who remembers this bori pri adama? So that's why they say in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that it's a good idea when we make the bori pri gefen on the wine in the beginning of the Seder, we should have in mind to drink water, and then we drink a little bit of water, we sip water as we go along, and that way our bori pri adama is going to last us those 3 hours. Now when we dip, what's the point of dipping the vegetable in salt water? So the point is to ask, what's the point in dipping the vegetable in salt water? That's the point, to ask the question. The kid is supposed to see us doing this and wonder, why are you doing this? Why are you suddenly dipping vegetables? You're eating something that's out of time, out of place. Who dips things now? Let's go wash our hands, eat the meal. But if the kid was in cheder and he was taught that we're going to dip it, so then we might want to make him a little bit more intrigued. We might want to tell him, boy, it's time for dessert. Yummy, we have vegetables. Let's eat the vegetables. Let's dip. Do we have a dip for the vegetables? Great. The original dip was vinegar. Today, most people have the custom to use salt water. If we're going to use salt water, we run into a problem because making salt water on Shabbos is ordinarily forbidden because they used to make salt water in order to make brine to preserve the vegetables. We're not allowed to preserve the vegetables on Shabbos, and some are of the opinion that we're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov either. So that's why ideally we should prepare our salt water before Shabbos, on Friday. If we didn't prepare it before Shabbos, then we certainly cannot prepare it on Shabbos. We should prepare it after Shabbos. Again, that's going to be another delay. You have vinegar at home, use the vinegar.
Which melachot?
It's a drabana, because it looks like you're preserving. You me'abed, you could be, if you're going to actually preserve, that's a serious problem. But if you're not going to be preserving, it just looks like you're preserving by preparing salt water, so then Chazal said you shouldn't do it. So if a person...
Could you what? Cup of wine after Shabbat, and you can do it right after that.
So there are two opinions as to whether on Yom Tov you're allowed to prepare salt water or not.
It's not Yom Tov until you have the second cup of
wine? No. Once Shabbos is out, it's Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. There's no in between. We're going straight from Shabbos to Yom Tov. We have no time that we could turn on any lights or anything. But there are two things as to whether it's permissible or not on Yom Tov. People are more lenient with this. There is the custom to be more lenient to prepare salt water on Yom Tov. If we're only preparing a small amount, then there's more room to be lenient. Because even on Shabbos, if a person must have it, then we have room to be lenient to prepare a small amount. But ideally, if a person doesn't have salt water prepared, he should take vinegar. Any dip is good. You don't have to have this dip or that dip. The custom is to have vinegar. Today it became salt water, which is really a secondary custom. It's not as strong a custom as vinegar, but today it became an accepted custom, so that's what people do. Now what's the whole point of this dip? The whole point of this dip is so that the kid will ask a question, why are you dipping? That's why we're doing this. So we could spend a lot of time explaining why. The term katas doesn't show up in the Gemara. Turn karpas is a later term. It's very early, it shows up very early. The Rishonim already discussed it, and the Rishonim say this gematria that we call it karpas because we refer to, because that's a simon for Samach Perch, that 60,000 people were under servitude, that we were slaves. But the term karpas really doesn't show up. It's later, not in the Gemara. Now, after karpas, we do yachas. We break the matzah. What's so important about breaking the matzah? So he said, the matzah is called lechem oni, bread that we're going to say over it a lot of things. So now we're about to begin magid. We're about to begin the seder. So we want to say over the matzah a lot of things. The matzah, lechem oni, is also poor man's bread. The poor man eats bread, he breaks off pieces and he eats them. He doesn't eat a whole loaf, can't afford it. He wants to save a piece for tomorrow. He doesn't know how much he's going to have to eat. So a poor man can't be picky and eat only whole loaves. He eats whatever he's got, even broken pieces. So that's why we break the matzah, so that the matzah first enters the state of lechem oni, according to the opinion that lechem oni is matzah that's broken. And then we're going to say over this broken matzah the whole story of the Leila Seder. That's the other opinion, that lechem oni is the bread that we're going to say over that bread the whole story of Mitzrayim. The Torah says when you say over the story of Mitzrayim, you tell your kid, "Ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li." Because of this, you point your finger to something. Because of this, Hashem did this to me, took me out of Mitzrayim. Because of what? What am I pointing my finger at? So Chazal said, "Ba'avur zeh, what am I pointing at? I'm pointing at the Pesach, the carbon. Today we don't have carbon. The matzah, the maror, that's what I'm pointing at. I'm telling him, you see this? All this you see in front of you, the Pesach, the matzah, the maror, that symbolizes, that's why I'm doing this tonight. Everything looks strange tonight? Yeah, it's because of this. Oh, what's this? What's matzah? Oh, I'll tell you the story of matzah." And then we start telling him the story of matzah. But that's why we're supposed to say the whole story we're going to tell the kid now, we're supposed to say it over the matzah. So the matzah has to be in the state of matzah. The ideal state of matzah is broken. So we take the middle matzah, and later on, I hope we'll still get to why the middle matzah, and we break it. All this I'm going with the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. The Gra is a different way of doing this, but we're going to stick to the Shulchan Aruch now. We divide it into two pieces. One's going to be bigger, and one's going to be smaller. So the bigger half we're going to save. That's what we're going to call the afikomen, and we're going to eat it at the end of the Seder. And when we eat it at the end of the Seder, that's the main mitzvah according to many opinions. The main mitzvah of matzah is the last matzah we eat at the end of the Seder, the afikoma. So obviously I want to save the bigger piece. Everyone wants to have a piece from that, so we save the bigger piece, we give it more honor. That's the piece that's going to be our main mitzvah of matzah. So that's one opinion why we take the bigger piece, one halachic opinion. There are many opinions otherwise, but I'm talking halachically. Why do we take the bigger piece? So one opinion says because this is going to be the main piece that we're interested in. This is going to be the afikoman, so I need as much of it as I can. That's one angle. And the other angle is I want to honor it, so I take the bigger piece. Another opinion says that I'm going to need two kazesim. We'll discuss later. I need a much larger portion from the afikoman, so I need the bigger piece for afikoman. Very simply, the other piece I'm going to need one kazesim from, so I can have the smaller piece for that, but I'm going to need two kazesim from the afikoman. Now the Torah says that when we left Mitzrayim, so the night when Hashem killed the Bechoros, the firstborn, so we were sitting in our homes with blood on the doorpost and the doors closed, and we're hearing wailing throughout the land of Mitzrayim. People are wailing and crying. They're finding out that this relative and that relative died, and we're sitting inside eating our Korban Pesach, and we know that we could have just as well been next in line, but Hashem promised us He won't kill us. Now this was a scarier experience than we're thinking, because if we think back a short while before that, in Makas Bechoros, when the Egyptians had darkness, some say 4/5 of the Jewish population died then. A tremendous amount of Jews died. So the Jews are living in a state where they know that the previous Makkah, many Jews died in. And now Hashem is promising them, yeah, on this Makkah, I'm going to jump over your homes. So they're in their homes, and they're eating, and they're told, be ready to go. When the time comes, you're leaving. And their time came, and the Jews left. But when they left, they had left over. They didn't finish all the matzah. Hashem told them, when you eat the Pesach that night in Mitzrayim, eat it with matzah. And they left Mitzrayim. They still had some matzah left over. So they wrapped the matzah up in their garments, and they traveled with it. And as a remembrance of that, when we take the afikoman, remember, we took the matzah, the middle matzah, we broke it in half. That's yachas. We take the bigger half, we're going to save it for the end of the Seder. That's going to be our afikoman. So this is the main matzah, this afikoman. This is the matzah that commemorates Pesach. So we wrap it up and we pass it on. And that is a remembrance that the Jews had leftover matzah when they left Mitzrayim, which they took over their shoulder and took out of Mitzrayim. Yeah, yeah.
Are we supposed to burn our bread before Shabbat and eat matzah on Shabbat instead of?
Shabbat morning, at a certain hour, we have to look at the calendar, I don't remember exactly when, we're no longer permitted to eat chametz. So ideally, we get rid, we burn whatever extra chametz we have on Friday morning, but we leave over enough to eat the morning meal on Shabbat. And if possible, we wake up extra early and we get two meals in before that hour. So we'll have three meals on Shabbos, the Friday night meal, Shabbos morning, and the next Shabbos morning meal. Now, we have to make sure to clean up well after ourselves, not leave any crumbs around, and also Friday night, leave the chametz contained. And ideally, most of the meal should not be chametz. Only the bread should be chametz. Ideally, we want to get rid of any other chametz. It's not forbidden, but it's just practically going to work better. Now, everyone knows that today we have the custom that the afikoman, the kids grab and they steal and they bargain. Where does that come from? So Rabbi Feinstein explained that it's based on the Rambam. If you recall, we mentioned that the Gemara says we grab the matzahs for the kids. What does it mean we grab the matzahs for the kids? So the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion that we were quick to start the whole procession of the Seder so that the kids will remain awake and they'll see what's going on. But the Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says that once you have the afikoman, they used to grab it one from the other. So one person would hold the afikoman, the next person would grab it from him. He'd have it, and then someone else would say, no, I want it. And what were we showing? We were showing the kids, look at this. This is very important. This afikoman everyone wants. And the kids see this. Everyone wants that. What's so special about that? It's just a broken piece of matzah. Ah, so then we start telling them the whole story. So the Rambam learns that when we say we grab the matzah before the kids, it means literally we grab the matzah. And Rabbi Feinstein explained that the showing the kids that this matzah is very precious to us evolved to a situation where we allowed the kids to grab it, and when they would grab it, we'd say, what do you want for that matzah? I'll give you whatever you want. That matzah is so precious to me. And then that evolved to the whole custom that the kids start bargaining and they hide it and they say, what do you want? If you want it back, you got to give me this, you got to give me that. And that's all to show the kids how precious this matzah is to us, because it's representative of the Karban Pesach, which is representative of everything Jewish, like we discussed last time. All of Judaism begins with the night of the Seder. That's the night Hashem took Sadam Mitzrayim. It all starts there. And you could say it starts by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but this is the night Hashem revealed himself to us. Ve'aminu b'Hashem uv Moshe Avdo, we say that was part of the Yitzias Mitzrayim. As we were crossing the Yam Suf 7 days later, that's when we reached the state that we really believed in Hashem. And then that evolved to Maimad Har Sinai, where we stood at the base of the mountain of Sinai, and Hashem fully revealed himself to us. But it was a procession that began with the night of Mitzrayim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what we're trying to pass on to our kids, the basics of our belief. That's what this night is about. So a lot of it goes back to this afikoman, this little piece of matzah, and we're showing the kid, look how precious it is to us. Now we begin Magid. Now we begin the whole story. So we take this broken piece of matzah that's left on the plate, and that's also representative of matzah, it's a broken piece of matzah, and we start, ha lach ma'anyo. This is the broken, poor piece of bread that our fathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. The Rishonim explain that why were the Jews told to eat matzah in Mitzrayim? The Torah says we're going to eat matzah. Why? Because the Jews were rushed out of Mitzrayim, and they didn't finish baking their bread, and the bread turned into matzah because they didn't finish breaking it. They were in such a rush. So that's why we eat matzah today, right? That's a problem. Before the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were already told, eat matzah. Why was Hashem telling them, eat matzah in Mitzrayim? That was the night before they rushed out of Mitzrayim. So some of the Rishonim explain that there are two matzahs. There's a matzah that represents what we did in Mitzrayim when we were enslaved. Because one of the Rishonim was once taken into prison in Egypt, I think. And they kept feeding him matzah because they said matzah is the type of food that you don't have to go to the bathroom a lot, so it keeps you stuffed, it'll keep you working well. So they thought, the Rishonim said, that maybe also the Jews in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim worked them so hard that all they ate all the time was matzah. And there's one type of matzah that we have at the night of the Seder that's representative of the time that we were enslaved in Mitzrayim. And then there's the matzah that represents the fact that we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we were in such a rush, that the dough didn't have time to rise, and that's the matzah that is representative of our redemption. Now, we said that we have a dual symbolism in the night of the Seder. Sometimes we symbolize the fact that we're slaves, sometimes the fact that we're free. There's a basic concept in the Agada, Matcha b'gnosum sayim b'shvach. We start with the gnos, the things that are derogatory about Am Yisrael, and we end up with the praise. We're showing how we went from the depths and we got out of it, how Hashem took us out of it. So in a few minutes we'll get to the discussion of where that begins. So we say Holach Manya. We say this bread, this matzah that our fathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim, and now we have another explanation to what it means they ate in the land of Mitzrayim. Whoever is hungry could come eat, whoever needs should come and join our Korban Pesach. Even though this year we're here, next year we hope to be in the land of Yisrael. This year we might be slaves, next year we hope to be free again like we were free here. And now, the initial custom was we remove the table, finished, the meal's over. This is what I told you we did for my younger brother. Today, people don't want to remove the table. They don't want to work so hard. Our tables are bigger and it's cumbersome, so we just cover the matzah. But really, we don't get the same effect. I've yet to see a kid sit there and ask, hey, why'd you cover the matzah? I don't know, it doesn't work. But if we'd clear the table and we'd say, thanks, the meal was great, then the kid's going to ask, what meal? I didn't eat, which is really what he's supposed to ask. That's why over here it was supposed to be a much greater act that was going to cause the kid to wonder what's going on here. Today we don't do it, we just cover the matzah. But really, there's room to think about doing it with a little more taram. You get the kid interested. Now, let's just remember, we're guests at someone else's table. Looks like I'm going to be a guest this year too. So we're a little limited, like someone else is running the Seder, and that's the way it should be. However they run it. But I'm going through all this because I'm thinking that by next year, maybe you're going to be at your own Seder. So, yeah, sure.
The same halachman, yeah, is a hashata racha, l'shana haba'ad ara b'yishreel.
Yeah.
We are already in Israel.
Okay, it's a good question. Maybe we could say no. There's a very strong importance to maintaining the same order and the same words that have been maintained for the last over 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's very important, and that's what we're going to get to here in the Manishtana. The Manishtana, so we've just done the last thing that's going to be strange for the kid. So he's seen all these strange things. He sees you have a dip there, you have your charosis there, you didn't dip in that. That means you're still planning on dipping during the meal. So why'd you dip before the meal? Why are you removing the table? Why is everyone leaning? Why are you doing all these strange things? So the kid asked the Manishtana. And really, the Manishtana are the questions we've tried to get him to ask, whether he asks or not. So if he doesn't ask, we ask. But if he asks, then according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, the father doesn't have to go say again the Manishtana. Everyone else around the table has to say it, but the father doesn't. But let's say there's no kid there. Let's say it's me and you sitting at the tables. Then we both have to say the Manishtana. Why do we both have to say the Manishtana? That's part of what we mentioned a second ago. Because we keep the same structure Chazal said. If my son's asking me the Manishtana, so then the Haggadah was instituted. If he asks me, then okay, so I answer him. Avadim Hayinu. What's Avadim Hayinu? That's the answer. That's the main point of the Haggadah. This is where we're starting. Avadim Hayinu. We were once slaves. Listen here, son. We might be here today, free men. I want to explain to you where we're coming from. And this brings us to the main part of the Haggadah. Avadim Hayinu, which according to one opinion is Matzil Vignut. We're starting, we're saying, oh, look at how bad we were. Look at what the poor state we were in. We were once slaves in for Paro. We were slaves in Mitzrayim. And then Hashem, our God, took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand. This is the main point, and this is going to lead us to explain why tonight I eat matzah, because I rashed out of Mitzrayim. Now, the Haggadah is just a baseline. The Torah says, V'igadta levincha, tell over to your son in a clear manner, which means elaborate on what it says in the Haggadah. Just reading the Haggadah, it's not like you're some EGBG, you say it and you're done. No, you're supposed to explain and understand what you're reading. So, get an English translation, at least, and get some explanation and know what you're doing. You have to explain it to the kid, or to your wife, or to your friend who's sitting next to you. And that's if you're the one leading the Seder. If not, then you should be the one listening and asking questions and hear it told back. So on the one end, we just said we have to say over the text of the Haggadah, that's true. Chazal instituted that this be said, we must say it. And the basic amount that every person has to say, even the women, Rabbi Feinstein held, was from Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel said, anyone that didn't say these three things on the night of Pesach, Pesach, Matzah, and Marot, those are the three basic points, and explains what the Pesach is for, what the Matzah is for, what the Marot is for, from there on, that's the basic. You must say that. Now, ideally, all of us are sitting at the Seder, we should say all of it. We should say Avadim Ayinu, we were slaves, and everything we're supposed to say. Now, we say over Avadim Ayinu, we explain that we were slaves, and that even if we were all wise men, and we'd know everything, we have a special mitzvah to say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then we tell over the story of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people, Rav Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rav Yeshua ben Hananiah, Rav Loza ben Azario, who was a youngster, but still a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Akiva, who was a student of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Tarfon. All of them were sitting together in Bnei Brak, and all night they had what to say. They were telling over the story. There's room to elaborate. And if you don't know on your own, so there are a lot of Sfarim that elaborate, and you could read there, and prepare for the Seder and tell over. Now, we didn't discuss yet the idea of finishing by Chatzos, at least finishing the Afikoman, and finishing the four cups of wine by Chatzos. But after that, we still have a mitzvah all night to tell over the story of Mitzrayim. And then we go off on a tangent. Rav Lezer ben Azariah says that we have a separate mitzvah every night to remember the fact that we left Mitzrayim. And then we start Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which according to some opinions is the blessing that begins the Agadah. Some opinions say that this is in place of a Birchas HaTorah. This is in place of making a blessing on the saying of the Agadah. Now, this brings us, if we go reverse a little bit, on washing our hands. Some say you wash your hands for dipping the vegetables. But some are of the opinion that the reason we wash our hands is like we wash our hands before we daven. We're about to say over the Sol Agadah, we have to have our hands clean. So, we wash our hands, and that's an introduction to all of this, what we're going to say. We're out of time.